Now, when it comes to the environment, technology has done a lot of damage, but we also like to use technology in our efforts to fix the environment and learn more about it. Take the oceans, for instance. They are huge. Only about 5% of the sea floor has been mapped, but in the age of satellites, robots and computers, we're starting to learn more about this great unknown. Here's Sandy Houseman off the eastern coast of the United States.
It's nearly 8 a.m., and Captain Monty Hawkins is impatient to shove off.
We're fishing out of Ocean City, Maryland, on the party boat Morning Star, and today we're going out for flounder and sea bass.
His three-man crew scurries across the deck, making sure the life jackets, fishing poles, nets, and cold drinks are in their place, ready for a day out at sea.
Hey, Jay, tell the boys to throw the lines off.
Now in his late 40s, this solid man with a leathery tan has been sailing for more than 30 years off the eastern coast of the United States, taking groups out to catch sea bass, flounder, tuna, and mahi-mahi. He's watched with dismay as it became more and more difficult to catch those fish that depend on coral reefs. Government experts had been saying there were no reefs off the mid-Atlantic, but Hawkins knew better. And when a U.S. environmental group, the Nature Conservancy, announced a meeting of experts to develop a conservation plan, Hawkins dropped everything to go.
I actually turned my boat around, refunded my clients, and drove to that meeting. They were working off of a study that took one sample per 100 square kilometers. Now, we need to look a little closer to that. Look, try looking where the fishermen fish, and then see if you have any hard-bottom communities. This is where we're at.
Long ago, he says, there were hectares of coral reefs off the coast, but dredging for clams destroyed them.
The hydraulic clam dredge is 15 or 20 tons of steel that's pulled behind a boat, and it liquefies the bottom.
Now, people like Monty Hawkins are playing a role in helping the Nature Conservancy create detailed maps of the oceans, sharing what they know with regional research teams.
We have better maps of the surface of Mars than we do of the seafloor underneath us right now.
That's Jay O'Dell, the Nature Conservancy's Mid-Atlantic Program Director.
Right through these waters, every year, the world's most endangered large whale, the northern right whale, swims. The primary cause of mortality to this species is being hit by ships and entanglement in fishing gear. We really don't have good maps yet of where they swim when they come through here.
The Conservancy's project, called Mapping Ocean Wealth, compiles data from people who go boating or surfing, as well as information from Coast Guards, the Department of Defense, the fishing and shipping industries, and from the Mid-Atlantic Ocean Observing System.
This ocean out here is actually pretty wired. We've got buoys that are out here measuring wave height and wind. We've got an array of high-frequency radar that's giving us really high-resolution data on currents. And we've got the gliders, unmanned underwater sensors that surface periodically and essentially phone home with information.
This high-tech fleet of gliders, deployed by the U.S. Navy, universities, and other institutions, gathers information that could help predict hurricanes, monitor changes in ocean temperature, and chemistry.
They look like yellow tubes, but they've got fins, and they're deployed all around the world, and we're starting to organize the glider efforts into what we're calling glider paloozas. So the gliders are being sent out at around the same time in different parts of the global ocean.
While gliders gather data from below the sea's surface, satellites owned by the European Space Agency and NASA keep watch from above for another mapping project. Using satellite data, scientists can detect high and low points on the ocean's surface. David Sandwell, a professor of geophysics at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography in California, says underwater mountains have a stronger gravitational pull than valleys, causing more water to accumulate above them on the surface.
It has these bumps and dips in the ocean surface that look a lot like the seafloor topography. The water piles up over the top of that feature rather than going down. So you can basically map this mountain by looking at the sea surface height.
All these efforts to map the ocean floor can help submarines avoid obstacles, assist companies to safely drill for oil or gas, and help scientists predict the impact of tsunamis.
When a tsunami is generated by a large earthquake, the waves propagate across the oceans, and their speed depends on the depth. And so if you want to figure out how the tsunami gets focused in a particular shoreline area, you have to have good maps. So there are all these kinds of applications.
More than a decade ago, Norway launched an ambitious mapping program. 20 different Norwegian government agencies joined forces to assess the threat to everything from zooplankton to whales. Those maps now guide government policies for shipping and oil exploration. The Nature Conservancy is following Norway's lead of mapping oceans with the hope of finding the best locations for wind turbines and protecting marine life. Captain Hawkins proves just how valuable it is to know where things are in the ocean. He takes fishermen to the places where small coral reefs survive, and on each trip, he drops a few concrete blocks nearby. These blocks provide a hard surface on which more coral is beginning to grow, and that's good for fish.
You know, it's a place for them to feed, it's a place for them to shelter, it's a place for them to spawn.
It also means more fish for Captain Hawkins' clients.
Nice fish. Beautiful. Awesome.
The Nature Conservancy's mapping project should be complete next year, while the satellite mapping initiative overseen by the Scripps Institute continues to chart the ocean floor, providing data for the next generation of Google Maps. Sandy Houseman, DW, in Ocean City, Maryland.